can get that down. We got there in the end. There's a fair bit happening behind the scenes this morning, let me tell you. But we are here. We are on the air. Thank goodness. It is Friday, the 20th day of May, and it's for McCafe, our official coffee partner. Jason McCartney, the Giants GM of football, Australian Football Hall of Famer Robert Walls, and the AFLPA CEO Paul Marsh has done an incredible job getting the AFLW players a 94% pay increase and some other changes that will work our way through with Paul and what that means for the game. Your calls, though, most importantly, 1300 736 736. The text come through on the temper text machine, 0433 98 1116. We're going everywhere this morning, right around the country, as we always do. The best analyst in the game is alongside me, David King. King, good morning.
Gonzi, didn't think we'd get here this morning. I did not think we'd get to air. It's all going on.
What's happening? What's happening over there? What's going on? What is going on?
I just play my role. I buy my coffee on the way in, and they look after me from there on in. But today they got us running around everywhere. Big week in footy and big week
fair
in sport.
Bit happening.
Chock-a-block today, isn't it?
Feel like the pressure valve is starting to, well, the pressure is really starting to increase on a couple of clubs.
Yeah.
And it's that time of the year. Leon Cameron has already gone. We'll speak to Jason McCartney about that. Alistair Clarkson has said he's happy to coach everyone. So that puts a certain level of pressure on. Essendon just refused to play any sort of physical football. And your North Melbourne Kangaroos have lost 6 by over 50 points. I heard you say that to Jared on Monday. So there's a fair bit of pressure happening, and it's only going to increase if some teams don't increase their performance.
And one of my favourite voices in footy, and it's always been this way, is Robert Walls. He calls it as he sees it, and I just thought it was a good time to get him on, because every time Carlton are struggling, and let's be honest, they've been in a hole over the last decade about 6 or 7 times. And Walsy comes on and he's asked to give his opinion, and he's tried to dance around and be nice, but in the end, you can only be honest. Carlton are flying. Let's get him on and have a chat about some positivity about the Blues.
I love this. Definitely, let's do that. And every time he does speak, he's got that commanding sort of voice that you just listen. There's another reason I like the fact we're getting him on as well.
Yeah.
Because last week we launched the Rendell Files. So Matty Rendell had a crack at you and I. You for not getting out of the offices of
me
Champion
Data. Sitting next to Joey, I got in trouble for. Joey me, said it wrong.
And me, because he reckons my favourite saying is I got that wrong. So we did some digging and we did some research, and Matty Rendell turned out he's got a fair bit wrong himself.
He came on.
And he was good enough. He was good enough to come on the show, but hashtag Rendell Files. And I just Googled Walsy. Right?
He's a guest of ours later.
I know.
Can you do this?
But no, this is a compliment. This is a compliment.
Okay,
because Robert Walls tipped West Coast to finish last in 2018.
He did, yeah.
He tipped them to win the Wooden Spoon. And on the basis that they lost a lot of experienced players and it would take a couple of years to get themselves up and going. They went on, of course, to win the flag. So not only did they not finish last, so I don't know if you can top that with the Rendell Files, but the thing I love about this is after they won the flag, he went on Fox Footy and he said, let me say this. I didn't think the Eagles would make the 8, and I didn't think Collingwood would make the 8. Did I think the Eagles would win the Wooden Spoon? No, but I was prepared to say that because they're pretty gullible over there.
Oh.
And he's taken credit for galvanising the Eagles group.
I like it.
That's brilliant. Loved it. Good U-turn.
Are you reading these things from Walsy and our man, Matty Rendell, just to see how they extricated themselves from a situation?
A tight spot.
So that you can use some of these philosophies going forward?
Is that what you're doing? Well, you need some wiggle room.
You create some new exit doors.
Well, you have to. You've got to pivot, King. It's like Ginnivan. So when you get it wrong and you found out, you've got to pivot. So you dye your hair, you bleach your hair.
Well, I think you went too early, but we don't need to worry about it. It's you know what? It's going nowhere for a while too, by the looks.
No, it's not going anywhere.
I know, have a look at it. Which brings me to my next one. The boys made me aware of this morning. I didn't see this, which is really disappointing.
Mm.
It's like someone sort of listening in to, I don't know whether it's yourself or what we talk about or whatever. Let me just play some audio that people on Twitter have brought up this week. Just saying, is someone copying someone? And that's all I want to say. Let's have a little listen.
from now on, Al. If you ever hear me talking about the fact that, I don't know, Darcy Parrish had 29 disposals in a game or 35 disposals in a game, and it's the junk that he's been dishing out over the last month or so, please stop me, because I don't ever want to talk about possessions for the sake of possessions.
Now, Corti, if I hear...
Don't you get me in trouble again.
What, get you in trouble?
Yes.
I can get myself in trouble. I don't need to get you in trouble. If I hear him talking about Rowell or Rankin or any rebuilds or any trade flaws or problems with lists or anything, but the deal breaker will be if Lingy dyes his hair.
Yeah.
If he does the Ginnivan, then that's it.
What are you saying here? Are you saying?
Twitter lit up saying that maybe there was a little bit of mimicking going on, a little bit of copying, a little bit of repeating of said topics.
Mm.
Do you think that that's the case? I'd like your thoughts more than mine.
I don't know. I gave you my thoughts.
This is Fireball Friday.
I don't listen to the Al and Lingy show. I'm not sure.
You don't have to listen to it. I'll just play you the highlights. What did you think when you heard that?
It's a strong opinion. It's a strong opinion.
Is it similar to your opinion?
I have perhaps had similar opinions. I mean, we did that topic. You did a list and we got in trouble. You got in trouble because Josh Jenkins wasn't happy with those sort of things being aired on radio.
Does Lingy get in trouble off Josh now as well?
I don't know. You've got to be really careful around
Josh. I know. And we work for the same employer, so be very careful.
You can't be negative.
I'm just sort of spinning around, just having a look around. That caught my eye. I'm going to pay close attention to that.
You do that.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Now, you do a lot of travelling. And I'm just having a look at a couple of my favourite little sites when I get in here just to try and work out what we're going to have a little bit of a laugh about. And have you heard of VVS Diamond? There's only one VVS I know. And it's VVS
Lex.
Very, very special. VVS. Well, VVS Diamond is an OnlyFans model in Miami.
Right.
If you say you know that, then I'll really question you. But
no, I don't. I know that.
She's in trouble because she's come up with a travel hack.
Mm.
She washes her G-strings and her smalls as she gets on a plane and dries them with the fans that are above the seats in the planes.
Yep.
She dries them whilst flying. She holds them up in the plane.
How did you discover this? You're not on OnlyFans.
No, I'm not on OnlyFans. But
you're not a subscriber to OnlyFans. You must be a subscriber.
It's on news.com.
Oh boy.
No, I didn't know who very, very special Diamond was. What's the worst? You wouldn't have seen anything like that on the flight from Adelaide to Melbourne. How you stack for G-strings? You're not doing it.
I don't think you'd have much effect with those fans. Those fans hardly blow out a candle. They're so mild. They're not going to dry the G-strings. But... There's some ordinary things that happen on flights. I've never seen anything like that before. But there's a few things that inattentive parents, okay? Like I understand it's really tough to travel with kids.
Yeah.
But it's not a babysitting service, a plane. Like you've still got to actually parent the child. So you can't let them run up and down the corridors, can't let them slobber over everything. When they are actually crying and they're upset, you've got to attend to them and you've got to try and fix the problem. Some parents, that's it. They get on the plane and that is it. The kid is just, it's an absolute free-for-all. The fight for the armrest, Kingy, is a battle that I refuse to lose.
Do you not fly up the...
Economy X is like sort of the front-ish areas of the plane, but it's not first class. So I don't let anyone... win the power struggle for the armrest.
You'd be really intimidating, wouldn't you? With your new do.
And the seat recliners. If you're on an hour flight from Adelaide to Melbourne, you don't need to recline your seat. So don't do that. And if you do that, you'll hear about
it.
Do
you give them feedback?
No, I just accidentally bump into the back of the seat a lot if they recline their seat. And then the spreading of the legs. Like if you're taking up too much leg room, there's not a lot to go around. So they're probably the four annoying things that happen on planes. But if you've got one for us.
There's not much of you. Like, you wouldn't really have to fight for much space, really, let's be honest.
0433981116. What is the most bizarre or disgusting thing you've seen on a plane?
Yeah, weird. Want weird. Thoughts.
Yeah, weird. Weird, yeah. Like drying G-strings that have just been washed.
I flew Air Garuda once from Bali to Hawaii.
Oh.
And you could, but it was anything goes on Air Garuda. It was made. It was
Air Garuda.
Air Garuda. It was like an Irish bar. There was that much smoke in the thing. It was, man. Oh. Never again. Don't worry about drying anything under the fans. You're looking for oxygen.
Get involved in this because I think everyone's got a
Air
story.
Air Garuda.
Yeah, the dodgiest airline you've flown with, the most bizarre, the weirdest. Let us know your thoughts on that. I just got one as well. I did notice in the Herald Sun during the week that Jordan Dugowie is apparently ready to reveal all at Ringwood's Manhattan Hotel, Kingy. So well, for $49.
That's where you'd go.
Is it?
No.
No? Sort of rough. Right. I've never experienced
Ringwood's.
It's not exactly Ringwood's.
The crown, you know.
Okay, well, it will cost you $49 to have the privilege, that is, for completely uncensored show. Ooh. With Jordan Dugowie and fellow Magpie teammate Braden Maynard. They're calling it the Geordie and Bruzzy Show, and it's a no-video event. So you can't, everyone's got a phone now, you can't video anything, no pictures.
Oh, this is risky. So
they're suggesting that Jordan Dugowie might finally open up about his arrest in the Big Apple and what went on.
No.
Now, the poster for this, the Jordan and Bruzzy Show, it's Wednesday the 1st of June at the Manhattan Hotel, is the two of them in a Collingwood jumper minus the logos. So there's no logos on the jumper. So you get the feeling that this hasn't been sanctioned by the club, and I'm not sure how thrilled they will be, considering that Jordan doesn't talk much or hasn't spoken since the incident. But
would you go?
Yeah, I'd go. Yeah, I'd pay $50 to have a listen.
When is it on?
It is on June the 1st. At the Manhattan Hotel. I probably won't be in town, but who's the best you've heard at a sportsman's night?
June 1. So it's a Wednesday night.
It's a Wednesday night.
At the Ringwood Tavern.
I don't think I'll be there. The Manhattan Hotel.
Manhattan. So how much, I mean, seriously, say they pack the joint. How many would you fit in? 200?
Yeah,
let's just pluck a number. I mean, say they're making $5,000 each. Is it worth it?
Probably
is,
not.
Is this worth it for the angst you're going to cause a football club and the stories that you're going to tell? Are they worth it coming back at you?
Mm. Well, that's why I don't think the club would be thrilled with that. But who is the best on a sport? Like, so I did a function, was in Sydney during the week, and I did a function with Matty Johns. And he's as good as I've ever heard. And
Matty
Johns? He wasn't even trying. Like, he's hilarious, and he doesn't even mean to. And I think there's a real intelligence about his humour that I was crying with laughter. Like Campbell Brown, he tells great stories. There's some people that have the art of being able to tell a great story.
Yeah.
Have you done one with someone? Have you listened to a story?
All cricketers. They just go into a bracket. They go into a bracket of their own, the cricketers. they just practice. During the rain delays, I reckon they practice their sports night stories.
Well, it can be pretty boring.
I know, but they're excellent. They are excellent. And the older ones, the deeper you go, the better they are. Look, I used to love Rodney Hogg's work. Rodney Hogg used to make me laugh. It just was my style of humour.
Kerry O'Keefe.
Was it Keith Stackpole? I saw one night. Yeah. Was hilarious. Or was it Bill Laurie? One of them was making 224 for Victoria against New South Wales when they were winning, Australia were winning tests somewhere, and he was, every story come back to him making 224 against. Anyway, now there's a lot of good speakers here. Sam Kekovich, I love.
Right.
I love Kekker. His stories are hilarious. When him and Barry Cable took on Geelong.
The best you've heard, 0433981116. And would you watch the Jordan and Bruzzy Show? Would you pay $50 at the Manhattan Hotel to go and have a listen to what went on in New York? We are up and running. It is Fireball Friday. There's so much we're going to get through after 7 o'clock. Great guests coming up.
Are you drying something in the studio there?
I'm not drying my running shorts, Kingy, and I'm definitely not drying my G-string. It's 18 minutes after 6. Your calls and your texts on the other side of this.
Fireball.
All right, we are here. We're doing it all thanks to Kogan. Make the call, switch to Kogan Mobile. And for Melbourne Airport parking, nothing beats $12 a day parking at Melbourne Airport. It's Kane and Kingy with you for Fireball Friday. Jason McCartney, Robert Walls, if you don't mind, and the AFL-PA CEO is Paul Marsh. Incredible performance, I thought, from Paul Marsh with the collective bargaining agreement for the AFLW, which will see the players get a pay increase of around 94%. Pretty handy, and we'll get to all of that after 7 o'clock. Kingy is here, and he discovered something on news.com this morning about an OnlyFans model who dries her G-strings with the air conditioning on the aeroplane. So he did ask you, what is the weirdest thing, or what's the weirdest thing you've seen or been involved with on a flight?
I wasn't on OnlyFans. I found it on news.com.
You're a subscriber to OnlyFans, and that's how you discovered it. People who get off the plane first, wait your turn. My wife used to be an airline attendant. Once they were about to rev the engines to take off, and a mum took out a potty, and her son took a number two in the aisle.
Oh, no.
That did not.
No way.
That's what I'm saying, Kingy. Parents.
That didn't even
control
happen
your kids
on Air Garuda.
Memorable airline flight, the young woman who cut her toenails while in her seat, then opened a can of tuna she had bought on board her flight, was not a popular move, says Glenn. Many years ago, my husband took an internal flight in Pakistan, and the passengers boarded with falcons and with goats. Animals.
That's off a movie, surely. That's not true, surely.
The person was playing with their feet next to me on a plane, says Josh. Way back on my 14th birthday, my parents got me a ticket for a sportsman's night with Max Walker. I sat next to Tangles all night, and he bought me jugs of beer. It was a brilliant memory of a great night. That's from Roger. We asked, who are your favourite guest speakers? I flew to the UK. Nath Brown hops on wearing a suit, sits next to me. I said to him, geez, you dressed up. Nath's response, tried to get an upgrade. 5 minutes later, he had his Ugg boots and tracky pants on.
No way.
There's a big room.
No way.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Hold that one till later when he comes on. Hold that till later. We'll bring that up, see if there's any truth to that. It does sound like Brownie, though, doesn't it?
1-300-736-736. You can get involved. Just quickly on some footy.
Yeah.
You kick in theory.
No theory, just the numbers.
Yeah. I liked it.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
For those that missed it, what's happening with kick-ins and what is wrong?
It's the worst part of our game. Not one team can move the ball from kick-ins. So it's just ridiculous. And we're talking absolute footy here, I get it. But we're making rule changes that aren't actually, in fact, impacting what they're supposed to. So this ridiculous nature of pulling the man back on the mark 15 metres has done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Not one thing except create a ridiculous event that looks crazy. Guys running 15 metres outside of a square that actually holds no relevance. I don't even know why we have a square. Why have we got a square?
We do not need a square.
We don't need a square. So we have this square there that has no relevance. And then, so the average score, now you score one. From every 13 kickouts, you'll score one score. So one every 13 goes for a score. One every 13.
Mm.
And everyone says, "Oh, but they're the poor teams in the competition. The best would score more effectively."
So what did Melbourne score?
They've scored three times from something like 90 kickouts for the year. Melbourne are the best team in the comp by panels, and they can't score.
So you had a thought that if you are late in a game, it's better to kick a point than kick a goal, because it's more likely to score from a centre bounce the other team than a point.
Yeah.
So you take the one instead of the six because you're in a better position to defend.
With less than a minute to go, Robbie Gray's been in this position a couple of times. He kicked a point up in Cairns. There's 38 seconds on the clock. If he kicks a goal that goes back to the middle, you're impacted by 6-6-6, so you can't put anyone behind the ball, and they might have an inferior centre bounce crew or a ruckman. So the other team are an opportunity to draw the game. If you kick a point, they are no chance.
Mm.
You win by a point. It's crazy.
So 0-4-3-3-9-8-11-16 hasn't been spoken about at all. Kingy's identified a major issue in the game. How do you fix it? And where does the responsibility lie? Is it on the teams? It's both, I know. Teams are so good at pressing all their 18 to the zone, it's just impossible to get it out. But also the teams kicking it in, they're so safe.
But what about all the changes we made? We did the third man up, third man up at the ruck. That has made no change.
I didn't want to bring up the stand rule, but I'm happy to.
No, well, the stand rule, I'll just hold on the stand rule for a sec, because that's a recent one, okay? We're talking about the ones that came in, say, 3 years ago. Remember there was a sweeping change of...
Yeah, the kick-in one came in with the player coming back off the mark recently.
Protected zone, that's all over the place. The stand rule, we can argue the stand rule. I know you don't like it, but we don't like the 50-metre penalties from it. I get all of that. They're ticky touchwood, but the game has... There is some evidence the game has freed up. There is evidence the game now moves more between the arcs.
Do you thought on the 6-6 and 6 and the fact that it hampers coaches with their tactics? Do you subscribe to that?
Well, I could mount a case that Melbourne started running 9 players off the back of the square. So effectively having the charge of the Light Brigade 2 or 3 years ago. I can mount a case that created more scoring than the 6-6-6.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think you're alone on that.